I'm glad I've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Nothing like knowing the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Well, we're moving right along in the book of Psalms. And Brother Robert must have thought Sunday school was a two-glass session this morning. He brought us two glass fulls out here. And I enjoy drinking water when I try to speak. All right, and we're going to be in Psalm 54 this morning, picking up on a new psalm and trying to plow right on through it. And probably next Sunday we'll begin in Psalm 55 and 23 verses in that particular chapter. I don't know yet. I haven't really taken a close look at it, but we may spend a little more than 1 week there. I'm not sure. I remember years ago I was praying and seeking God's face about how that I could draw a little closer to Him and what it would take for me to live on the victory side and have a closer walk with the Lord. And the Lord spoke to my heart out of chapter 55 and verse 17 there, where He said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. And the Lord told me on that day that it would take prayer to get me closer to Him, to where I need to be. And I'm convinced, gentlemen, that it'll take that same prayer to get you close to Him as well. Brother Dale, I was listening to him a little on his program this morning. He made a statement. He said that our relationship to Christ is what our relationship is to the Word of God. And I'd say that's not far from wrong. And you cannot pray without reading the Word of God, and neither can you read the Word of God, actually read it without praying. And Psalm 54 and Psalm 55 both deal with the matter or the subject of prayer. And so let's read Psalm 54 in its entirety this morning, all right? Save me, O God, by Thy name, and judge me by Thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Selah. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in Thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto Thee. I will praise Thy name, O Lord, for it is good. One place He said, taste of the Lord. See that He's good. And He just declares Him here that He is good. And there's no doubt about that. I'll guarantee He's better than zero candy bar, and God knows my heart, I love zero candy bars. But the Lord's good to the taste. Amen. He's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb, what it says in Psalm 19, fellas. And how true that is. Verse number 7, for He hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen His desire upon mine enemies. Let's look to the Lord again in just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Thy Word and for the glorious privilege that we have to assemble in the house of God. David said he was glad, Lord, when they said unto him, let us go to the house of God. But I'd like to say this morning, I'm thankful. And I'm glad in my heart, Lord, that I can be here in this place with Thy Word and Your people in Your presence. And I pray that You'll speak to us today as Your children. Instruct us in the way of righteousness and bless our hearts as only You can. Lord, would You today reveal Your glorious person and Your love and Your wonder and grace to Your children today, and help us, I pray, to worship in spirit and in truth and honor You with heart, mind, body, and soul today. I pray You'll save old sinners, and God, that You'll revive the work in the people of God and give us grace and faith to walk with You humbly in these last days, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Fellas, I've labeled this psalm today, perils and prayer. I think that David was a man that learned to pray in perilous times. And somebody said, well, we're not David. No, but we're living in perilous times. For Brother Paul said, know this also, that in last days, perilous times shall come. And what makes those times so perilous is that men have become lovers of pleasures more than they have lovers of God. And, you know, there's no question about it. Like I shared with the men in my office about the young lady in down south of Atlanta, stood for 45 minutes out on the street naked with a sign saying, judge not that you be not judged, while men of God were there trying to preach, Brother Brian Durden trying to preach on the street. And that young lady with her little placard up in the air, standing there, judge not that you be not judged, and was naked, didn't have a stitch of clothes on her body. And I tell you, we're living in spiritually dangerous times, gentlemen. That's what perilous means. And David learned that while living in those perilous times, that one piece of his armory was prayer. Now, I tell you, if there was ever an hour, men, that we need to learn to pray, it is in 1999. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And, you know, we used to have the verse back in the radio room, and whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe in, it shall be given unto thee, or done unto thee. And I believe in the power of prayer. That's right. I do believe in the power of prayer. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And we have not because we ask not. We live in spiritual poverty today because we neglect our privileges and our rights to pray and get a hold of the very God of heaven, who is able, gentlemen, to supply all of our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And somebody said, well, Brother Hall, we're just not living in that perilous of times. Maybe God needs to open your blinded eyes, friend. My God, I'm telling you how bad the things have to get before God's people will practice 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And that's right. And seek the very God of heaven and turn from our wicked ways, that God may hear from heaven, forgive our sin, and heal our land. And I'm honest with you. I believe God's ears are open and attentive unto our prayers if we walk right in the Spirit of God, separating ourselves from the world and sin. Amen. His ears are open and attentive to our prayers. And gentlemen, He has the power to do exceedingly abundantly above anything you and I may ever ask or think, according to the glorious power that worketh in us. I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that we're entering into a passage of scriptures that deals with prayer. And I used to preach on prayer a lot. In fact, it got to the point, Miss Hall, she'd say, what are you preaching on this Sunday? And I'd say, well, I'm not going to tell you. And she'd say, you don't have to. It's prayer again. I know what it is. I used to preach on prayer a lot. Somebody said, why? Because men need to learn to pray. I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. You follow the life of our Lord, He was a praying man. You follow the life of Paul, he was a praying man. You follow the life of the prophets, they were praying men. Abraham built an altar. Isaac built an altar. Jacob built an altar. And there was a man in the Bible by the name of Lot that neglected to build an altar, and he lost his family, lost his possessions, lost everything he had, and his testimony and his spiritual power went down the tube, and he never lived anything to the glory and honor of God. I'm simply saying, gentlemen, that we need to learn to pray that the power of Christ may rest upon us, that we may have the blessings of God to overcome in the perilous hours that we're living in. I know that's right. Now, as we continue our study in Psalms, I want to remind you that they give us an overall picture of the life of David. That is good, gentlemen, to view this man's life. That's right. It gives us an overall picture of David's life. A life that varied in its disposition. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? We did not always find David on the mountaintop. God did not always show David on the victory side. I've read where his city Ziklag was burned with fire. But through prayer, God gave it back to him. I read where he was forced into a cave, hiding from Saul's persecution. But I also read where praise and prayer brought him out of that cave and gave him victory. I've read where he hid himself in the jagged rocks and in the wilderness of sin. But I also have read where prayer and praise brought him out of the wilderness and out of the rocks and gave him victory in his life. I read, my friend, where Absalom drove him from the city of Jerusalem, but I've also read where prayer and praise and confidence in his God brought him back to Jerusalem and established his kingdom again and gave him the victory in his life that he needed. That's right, see, the ups and the downs and the varied dispositions of life. Now, I'm glad that the Holy Ghost was honest. He's being honest. The Holy Ghost is honest. And he reveals both the perils in David's life as well as the deliverances in his life. Now, if that had been Benny Hinn, you'd have seen nothing but the good side. Huh? That's right. If that had been Oral Roberts, something good would have happened to David every day. But that's not that way. If it had been Jimmy Swaggart, everything would have been all right when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But it wasn't all right. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the Holy Ghost opened up the heart of a man and allowed you and I in 1999 to look into the heart of a man and how he was led by God, blessed of God, tempted by the devil, led astray, but in prayer and praise, he brought himself back to God and learned to walk on the victory side for the glory and honor of God. Perils and prayer. These various situations in David's life finds himself these various situations in David's life are very beneficial to you and I today. They are just as fresh, gentlemen, for our life today as they was, and just as instructive for our life as what they was for David. I'm telling you, we'd do well to learn from past experiences. I preach that over and over and over and over again. Gentlemen, every experience of life that man will encounter is found in the Bible. And every way of escape that God gives to man through the temptations, through the perils, and through the tribulations, and through the troubles, is found in the Bible. Brother Dale was right today when he said we ought to read the Bible. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they that speak of me. I'm here to tell you, gentlemen, we're weak today in prayer because we're weak in reading the Bible. Amen to God. And neglect of the Bible will keep you from prayer, and neglect of prayer will keep you from the Bible. And I'm telling you, some of you are living below normal where God does not want you because you neglect the Bible and neglect your prayer life, and you look more at your troubles than you do at God. If you will minimize your troubles and maximize God in your life, you'll get along a whole lot better. Man, so many folks want to just maximize their troubles and always think on them. Think on God a little bit. We used to play that old song or something. Don't think about the times when you're down and out. Think about how He brought you out. Think about that sweet, sweet Spirit of God way down in your soul. We play that on the radio station. My goodness. I'm telling you, if you dwell on problems all your life, fellas, you will find yourself living there. But if you let your heart meditate upon the blessings of God, you will find yourself a dwelling there as well. Amen. Now, stay right with me. The psalm now finds its occasion in 1 Samuel chapter number 23. And I'm not particularly going to that. But David had thought that he had found safety from Saul in the land of the Zittans. Really, they're not, the Bible here calls them strangers in verse number 3 of the psalm. But really, they were not strangers in that sense. They were of the tribes of Israel, but strangers to David because of what they did in David's life. Here is a man that is fleeing for his life. Gentlemen, he feels like there is one step between him and death, and realizes that Saul is hot on his trail. Now, somebody said, what's that got to do with me? You ought to turn around and look, friend. You might find the devil breathing down the back of your neck. And the world right along with the devil, and your stinking rotten flesh right alongside the other two of them. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, there's enemies in this life. And I've preached them till I'm blue in the face, but if you don't recognize who your enemies are, and by faith overcome the world, and through the blood, my friend, resist the devil. Amen to God, and by your faith overcome the world, and by the blood resist the devil, and through the crucified Son of God crucify your flesh and walk in the Spirit. You will never have the victory in this life you walk. You can't even have victory in good times, much less in perilous times. Somebody said, why do you always preach on victory? Because I want you to have it. That's why. That's right. It finds its occasion in 1 Samuel 23. David thought he had found safety from Saul in the land of the Ziphims. But that crowd, to gain personal favor with Saul, and really it's in the Scriptures twice. Psalm number 54 deals with the account in 1 Samuel 23 and verse number 19. But again in, I believe, chapter 26 and verse 1, they rat on David again. David has went amongst these people, thinking that he had safety there, and that they would protect him and be a blessing to him. But rather than find safety there, these, the Ziphims, and that's in the title of it, if you want to look in the title, these people ran to Saul and said, hey, doth not David hide himself in our land? And said, why don't you just come on down there and we'll deliver him up into your hands. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, gentlemen, it is a sad day when any man thinks that he has found safety from his enemies, only to find, my friend, that the safety he thought he had turns out to be a false hope, and rather than having safety amongst his friends, he's really living in more peril and danger amongst his friends than he naturally would be living amongst foes. Somebody said, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm saying it's a sad day, gentlemen, when we come to the house of God, when we ought to be brethren and dwelling together in unity and drawing strength from one another and blessing from one another, and think we got safety in the house of God when really we're living in more perils in the house of God, because there's somebody there, like the Ziphim, that will betray us and betray our confidence and our trust, and will do their best to destroy us rather than being a blessing to us in the house of God. That's right, ain't it? God help us. That's exactly what this crowd did. David thought he had some safety there, and was able to hide there from the perils of Saul, but he found he had perils amongst his own brethren and kindred. Somebody said, well, now, Brother Hall, surely there's not perils amongst the brethren. I wish I could find that, and God just laid it on my heart, and I can't remember exactly where it's at, about Paul talking about the perils of life that he was in, perils amongst in the deep, perils in the night, perils amongst his own. Where is it at, Brother Jerry? Corinthians, that's what I thought. Do you know where there? Huh? Perils amongst his countrymen. Perils in the waters. I'm not going to turn there. Perils in the deep. But one of the statements he made was perils amongst my own countrymen. Gentlemen, I'm going to tell you what. It is one thing to be living in perilous times because of what's going on out in the world, but it's altogether a different thing to be living in perilous times because of what's going on in the house of God. Now, I'm here to tell you, I'm going to tell you one of the greatest problems that we're having today is that men of God trying to get their people to get up off their blessed assurance and move on spiritually for God, and they're satisfied living where they are on the borderline of Jordan instead of crossing over. They're contented and become complacent living on the wrong side of Jordan, just like the 2.5 tribes of Israel did. Buddy, and we're there. Old Brother Sonson asked that, Brother Hall, He said, I'm going to tell you what our biggest problem is. He said, we've come to a place in the church and we're just there. I said, join the crowd. I mean, hey, don't feel like a Lone Ranger, Tonto. That's right under God. That's exactly where. Hey, I couldn't detect a flagrant sin in that church. I could not detect any rebellion against the man of God. I could not detect, my friend, anything that would lead me to believe that there's wickedness and ungodliness or discontentment or rebellion or anything. But I'm going to tell you what I did see. Some folks just pulled right up to there and said, I'm satisfied. That's all of God I need. And that's all of me God needs. And I'm going to live right here till God comes. And I'm telling you, gentlemen, that is where most Baptist churches are living today. We've gotten complacent with God. And we've got our eyes on the peril and the problem and the trouble when we ought to set our eyes on God and just go on with God. Go on with God. Amen. And some of you fellas come to church and can't even say amen.
Amen.
Huh? Fellas, I'm going to tell you something. I don't mean to be a smart aleck, but if you can sit back there in my office and laugh and giggle and joke and carry on and have a good time and come out here and dry up, bless God, and can't even smile, you've got a problem. You have got a spiritual problem. That's right. Amen. Hey, that's right. I'm just telling you where it is. That's right. That's right. Somebody said, well, I ain't heard anything to say amen about. Well, I hope you have. Now, look here. I want you to look at the psalm. David, when he finds himself in a perilous situation and no place to turn to. Gentlemen, he is living in the camp of his enemies. And then his real enemy, Saul, is on the move, pursuing him, after him. Where is he going to go? It's kind of like Moses at the Red Sea. There's no place to go, no place to turn, nobody to turn to. What did Moses do at the Red Sea? When he stood there, and the people was about to stone him, no doubt, and there was nowhere to go. The Bible said, God said to Moses, "Why? Wherefore criest thou unto me?" Moses never said a word outwardly, but inwardly he was a crying to God to do something for deliverance. And I'm telling you, when old David found himself in perilous times, surrounded by the enemy and nowhere to go, my friend, he didn't look out to his men. He did not look to his wives. He did not look to part of his army. He just simply looked up to God and realize that God is so powerful, my friend, and so act right and so wise that God could deliver him in a minute's notice if God really wanted to. Now, I want to show you something here. Look what he says. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God, and give ear to the words of my mouth. David makes four requests there, and I'm not going to preach on them. He says, save me. He says, judge me. He said, hear me. And he said, give ear to the words of my mouth. Four distinct requests he made of God. Somebody said, well, what was he doing there? Gentlemen, he was making inquiry. Prayer makes inquiry to God. That's exactly what prayer is just trying to make inquiry to God to find out what the will of God or what the mind of God might be in any certain situation. Amen to God. Somebody said, well, I don't know what God's will for my life is. Have you asked Him? Well, I don't know if I ought to do this, or I don't know if I ought to do that. Have you asked God? I guarantee you, God, my friend, will give direction for your life. If you will inquire of God, He is able, my friend, to give you the direction in your life that you need, whatever it might be. He's able to give you direction on your job, Brother Ricky. If God tells you, and I tell you right to your face, son, if God tells you don't take that job in Evansville, don't you go around that mess. That's God, that's right. I'd rather be eating soup, beans, and cornbread and an onion head and three times a day and be in the will of God over in Muhlenberg County, and I wouldn't be living in that hell hole in Evansville, amen, outside the will of God. I tell you, God will. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path, brethren. I'm going to tell you, the first step in prayer is to make inquiry of God. Find out just exactly what God wants in your life. Brother Andy, Brother Andy talked to us the other day about joining the church. Him and his wife both going to be baptized. Somebody said, why? Because he's baptized in the General Baptist Church. That's why. And we don't believe that that's baptism. Baptism is an ordinance of the church. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, that is a church. Hogwash, bullwinkle, fodstick. I'm going to tell you what a church is if it's not baptistic in its belief. And I'm not talking about free will General Baptists that believe in losing their salvation either. I'm talking about old-time Bible Baptist friends that follow the doctrines of grace and walk in the footsteps of Christ. He gave that command and that ordinance to the church to go out and win souls and baptize them and then preach to them and give them the ordinance of communion that they might be drawn closer to God. Amen. I'm not an ecumenist and ain't going to be. I ain't a yoking up that crowd. Huh? Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you got to get along with everybody. I beg to differ with you. The Bible said, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And I just about had all lying in me again. I can't get along with that crowd. How do you get along with somebody who believes in losing their salvation? Huh? I thought you were saved. I'm talking about any of them. And you get along with somebody that tells you that you got to keep doing good works in order to be saved, or you got to work to be saved. And you get along with somebody that tells you you've got to be baptized to be saved. If that's the case, my friend, I've got news for you. From John the Baptist all the way back, that crowd's in hell. And if you believe you've got to speak in tongues to get there, all the way from Acts chapter number 2 all the way back, they're in hell. All that crowd believes in you believe in losing your salvation. Now I'm here to tell you, friend, if you can hobnob and get along with that crowd, you have got a problem 6 inches below your spiritual collarbone. That's right. Now prayer makes inquiry of God. Notice what he said in verse 2. Hear my prayer. Lord, I've got to talk to you. I've got something I've got to say. Would you please give me your ear? Give ear to the words of my mouth. He's done got beyond meditating in the heart, gentlemen. It's done got audible. Like I said last week, he's not just praying, he's summoning God. He's making audible voice to God. That's right. Somebody said, well, what will that do? Well, hey, did not Gideon, fellas, inquire of God? God said, oh, mighty man. And he said, who, me? Somebody turn that arrow on back there. Would you, Brother Jerry, please? He said, who, me? Mighty man. Said, well, my, and said, oh, blessed of God. He said, if we're blessed of God, what's all these things? What's the part we have in all these problems? And in so many words, God said, Gideon, I'm going to deliver with you. I am going to deliver Israel with you. And Gideon, hey, Gideon, my friend, God had already spoken, but I'm going to tell you, he made by prayer a diligent inquiry of the heart of God and got down to the very root of the problem. Well, oh, that's right. God said, I'm going to make deliverance from you. And Gideon, he spread out a fleece out on the ground, and he said, now, Lord, here's what I want you to do. If you're really going to do this, I want dew to be on that fleece and the ground around it to be dry. And he went out the next morning, he said, unto God, it's wet. Now, if that had been most Baptists, we'd have thrown it away. But I'm going to tell you what Gideon done. Gideon went and got him a bowl. They wrung all that water out in that bowl. Set that bowl aside, and next night he laid out that fleece again. He said, now, Lord, said, I want the ground around it to be wet, let the fleece be dry. And he went out the next morning, that fleece is just as dry as a chip. Now, look here, he inquired of God, gentlemen. He had a bowl of water and he had a dry fleece. Somebody said, what did he do? I believe he went back home to Sister Gideon's house and said, honey, said, I want you to set this up in the cabinet and lay this up in there beside of it. Well, Mr. Gideon, what, you a fool? What are you putting a bowl of water and an old dry fleece in there for? Well, I made inquiry of God. Yeah.
And God answered me, and He gave me a wet fleece and a bowl of water, and then gave me a dry fleece and said, I just want to keep it laid around a little while.
Now, I'm sure a few days later, God said, all right, Mr. Gideon, it is time to go fight the Midianites. And the devil probably jumped up on his shoulder and said, with 300 men, you a fool, boy. Now, he had 32,000 to begin with. God let them lap and lick in the water and brought them down to 300. He said, now, if these 300, I'm going to whoop the socks off of Midian. Gideon looked down there and said, they lay like grasshoppers all through the valley. And I'm sure Mr. Gideon said, Gideon, please don't go down there. He said, what confidence do you have that the victory is going to be yours? And he said, praise God. I got a bowl of water here. I got a bowl of water. I inquired of God. Well, is that all you got? Oh, no, I've got a dry fleece here, too. Amen. I got God's promise. I got God's all right. I got God's okay. I'm going to tell you something. If we'll make inquiry of God, and God will give us His okay and His all right, it will be all right. Whatever it might be, it'll be all right. Has anybody here got a bowl of water? You know what my bowl of water is? 1 Kings 17:3. Turn eastward, I'm blessed. Thank God in 1987, I turned eastward from Tucson, Arizona. And when the devil tries to run me off, I just run back to that bowl of water in 1 Kings and rely on God. That's right, ain't it? That's right. Now, what do you inquire of? Well, notice he said, save me, O God. Now, when he talked about God there, he's talking about the entire divine nature of God. In other words, just inquire at God's nature. Now, I'm glad, gentlemen, he doesn't have a human nature, a fallen nature. He has got a divine, holy nature. Now, I'm going to have to hurry on these. Well, Sunday school time's over, and I ain't made one point yet. What's in that nature? What's in that nature that we can, that bowl of water? What do we find in God's nature that would give us a bowl of water? May I say, number one, His wisdom. Amen. James 1:5, I believe it is. If any of you lack wisdom, let him molly grab with a poogey mouth and worry himself sick. Any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Get this now, and it shall be given him. Son, I'm telling you, that is a confident affirmation in the Word of God that if we need wisdom in making a decision in our life, that God will grant it if we'll ask. And be sensitive enough to the Holy Ghost that when the answer comes, we'll know the answer is that. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Wisdom, gentlemen. Now look here, somebody said, how do you know He's wise? Judge me. Do you think that He would left judgment upon him to some ignoramus? He said, now here's what David is saying. He's saying, Lord, just judge between me and them. See who's right. Reward them evil. Cut them off, he said in verse number 5. He said, mine eyes have seen your desire on my enemies. That's right, son. Hey, he believed God had a little bit of wisdom. Fellas, we're not saved by some dumbbell. Son, I'm telling you, we serve a God of glory, the God of the universe, who is all wise. Son, He knows it all. That's God. Somebody said, well, I like the Encyclopedia Britannica. Who do you think give the wisdom to them idiots to write it? Somebody said, well, I can't figure out a computer. I'm telling you, I am so amazed that men who cannot figure out a computer, but they've got the faintest idea that they can figure out a God that put everything in the computer that's there. Yeah. Son, God, I don't even know how to turn that egg sucker on and off, but I'll tell problem, I ain't going down and look at the internet. I'm going to get a King James 1611 Bible and find out what God's got to say about it. Amen. Everywhere you go, you got a computer? Man, they're wonderful. I'm going to tell you what's wonderful. King, as Brother Sammy would say, King James 1611. That's what's wonderful. Praise God, you will find the wisdom of God in there. Somebody said, where's it all at? It's in the cross. For the cross, both the wisdom and the power of God. I'm glad, thank God. Folks may think it's foolish, but I tell you, the cross is all wisdom. Hallelujah to God. He knew what he was doing, brother, when he sent his son into the world to lay down his life on the cross that we might be saved, the children of God. And he will confound the wise and the prudent. God can make the wise of this world look like morons and idiots. And that's right. He'll know. They tried to trap him in his speech. Tried to trap Jesus in his speech. But his mind was too witty for that crowd. That's right. They tried to entangle him in his speech. They tried to outwit him in his power, talking about the resurrection. He said, not knowing the power of God, said, ye do greatly err. Boy, I'm telling you, friend, you are not going to outwit God. No, sir. Son, I'm telling you, if you can ever just get down and humble yourself a little bit and get a hold of where God's, try to get a hold of where God's living and how wise He is and how much knowledge He's got. Now, can you imagine the knowledge it took to take a Bible like this and put it together with continuity from Genesis to Revelation and inside all, inside that thing, amen to God, hide all the mysteries and the secrets of God, and then give a man a heart and a love for God to seek Him out that he might know the God that wrote the book. Woo! That's right, ain't it? I'm going to tell you another thing in His nature, gentlemen. His immutability. Somebody said, what do you mean His immutability? Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Numbers 23:19, God is not man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? I tell you, friend, God has spoken, and God will make it good. You can rely on every promise in the Bible, for God said it, and God will make it good in your life. Thank God. Somebody said, how can that be? His Word is purified in a furnace of earth 7 times, my friend, and is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be altered. God said it, that's it. That's the final down of it. You ain't going to change God's book. You ain't going to change God's mind. And you ain't going to change God's law. And you ain't going to change God's Word. This crowd out here, Father, right now, we command you, stupid idiots. Amen. Well, I had a guy say, you're just make God do something. My God! I'm going to tell you what we need to do is get where God wants us and let God do us. Amen. Ain't make God do anything. But I'll tell you what we can do through prayer, gentlemen. We can pull a hold of the heart of God. God give us the desires of our heart. Somebody said, well, how can, if we're looking at one thing and it's here, maybe a problem in our life, and if God's God and He changes not and He's not going to change nothing, how can we avoid that? I'm going to tell you how. You ain't got beyond that problem yet. Now you just listen to what I'm telling you. You see, fellas, we want to look at them little problems in perilous times, and then we want to when we pray.
Let me see if I can get a hold of this the way I want to get a hold of it, the way it's in my heart. If we pray, then and God moves that, we can say, oh, man, I've heard men say, praise God. We change the mind of God.
You ain't changed nothing.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what you've done. Son, when you prayed and got a hold of God and that thing was removed out of your way, God knew way back here that He'd remove it out of the way, and what's up there is still up there waiting on you. Somebody said, you sound like whatever will be. In the mind of God, it will be. But in the mind of man, my friend, we don't know what's going to happen 30 seconds from now, much less next year. But God knows the end from the beginning, and He does what He wills and wills what He does, and it's our responsibility to get in that will of God and have a time of our life. I'm going to tell you, if you get in the will of God, you can have a time of your life and let God handle all your trouble, all your prayer, and God will handle them. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something else in that nature. God's justice. Judge. Hear my prayer. Judge me by thy strength. Strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek my after my soul. They have not set God before them. Look here, what David is saying is, Lord, I know I'm right and they're wrong. What are you going to do about it? Will you let injustice take place? No, sir. I'm going to tell you what God said to Abraham. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? I tell you, brethren, He will do right. The reason He will, it is beyond the capabilities of God to ever do wrong. He cannot do wrong. Whoa, come on in, ladies. Yeah! God cannot do wrong. He is God. And besides Him, there is none other. Come on. Not only did He inquire of his nature, but He said, save me, O God, by Thy name.
Amen.
He made inquiry in God's nature. But He also made inquiry into God's name.
Amen.
Save me by Thy name. What about His name? Well, start with He's a great I am.
Amen.
Moses in chapter 3 of Genesis of Exodus said, Lord said, you go on down there. And Moses said, Lord, when I get down there, who am I supposed to tell that crowd of Jews down there? Who am I going to tell Pharaoh? Who will I tell Pharaoh sent me down here? He said, you tell him that I am. That I am told you to come down there. I'm going to tell you, my friend, I don't know a whole lot about I am that I am, but I'm going to tell you, whatever He is, He is. Praise God. That's right. Amen. By His name, it signifies all power, all authority. I'm telling you, our God that died for us to save us is a God of all power, all authority. My friend, we can go in the power of the name of the Lord into prayer and pray over all the powers of this life. Hallelujah to God. Whew. Run alive. Woo. Notice now, not only does it prayer, not only does prayer inquire of God, but prayer inspires confidence. He said in verse 4, behold, God is my helper. Well, fellas, I wish by faith we could really get a hold of that. That God is our helper. Just like the Holy Ghost, Miss Sue, He is one that is called alongside to help. He is a present help in trouble. That includes perilous times. Whether you're out of a job or whether you're changing jobs. Or whether you are looking for the will of God or the way of God or wanting in the work of God. I'm here to tell you, my friend, that prayer will inspire your confidence until you, like David, can say, God is my help. helper. Praise God, he didn't stop there either. He said, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. God is such a helper that he will help you to stand. That's what uphold means. I tell you, when you feel like you can't stand, God will help you to stand, my friend. God is our helper. Amen. Ain't that right? And having done all to stand therefore is what Paul said. And I'm glad that he can lift up the feeble knees that hang down. Son, God is our helper. Cause me to leap over the wall. And it's God that'll cause me to run through a troop. Hallelujah. God is my helper, brethren. I said, I ain't going to do nothing about Y2K. I ain't going to do nothing about nothing but love God and read His Bible and come to church and worship God. Let God take care of the rest of it. I've been wondering, well, what am I going to do over at the house? Can't get my house finished. Can't get things done. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Until God lets me, I'm going to drive on a gravel driveway. Praise God. And walk upstairs and ain't done. Amen to God. I ain't going to do nothing. God's my helper. Amen. I'm a having a time. God will help me. Amen. Somebody said, well, who in the Bible does he help? Some that bunch of princes and presidents went to old Daniel and said, Daniel, if you make a decree, son, it's end of the den of lions with you. It's death. I'm going to tell you what old Daniel done 3 times a day as he had been doing all along. He went to that window, swung that window open, and prayed to the God of heaven. And that crowd said, you're going in the lion's den. Daniel said, what makes any difference? If I go in, my God is already in there with me. Somebody said, how do you know he is? He fought the lion in Genesis. And got the promise that he is going to bruise his head. Woo! He fought the lion in Gethsemane. He fought the lion in the wilderness of temptation. But when he fought him on Calvary, he sealed his mouth. And he went away going, meow, meow, meow. Little old tail of hand. When Jesus was on the cross, that tail was like this. And I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus got up out of the grave that third morning, that tail went, I'm going to say, when old Daniel got in that den of lions, God, with a spiritual cord, dropped down into the den, took a spiritual. Hello, Mr. Lion. You know God's got your old mouth sealed tight.
Amen.
Roar, you stupid egg sucker. That's all you can do is roar, buddy. Because God's got you bound. He bruised your power. He bruised your authority on the cross when they died. I'm telling you now, all power is given unto the Son, both in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. The third thing. We'll give you a little break and come back and have church.
Amen.
Prayer makes inquiry of God. Prayer inspires our confidence. And prayer incites praise and worship. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord. For it is good.
Yeah.
What's good? His name is good. Taste of it. See how good it is. It's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. I tell you, God is better than good. He is superlative degree. He is supreme. He's wonderful. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Counselor. He's the mighty God. He's our coming Prince. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what I say, Jerome. Yeah! Hallelujah to God. Amen. What a God. Now look here. He said, I will freely sacrifice. You know what you got to do to get most Baptists to praise Him? Pump the handle here a little bit, boy. Maybe I can get her crying. Maybe I can get a grunt. Oh, man, I got a grunt. There you go. Oh, or it's getting better. I'm going to tell you the reason some of you never say amen. You couldn't say amen. You couldn't smile. You couldn't stand on your feet. You can't raise your hand to God. I'm going to tell you why. Because you don't know what it is to pray. And I'm going to tell you, hey, you may mumble a little bit, but you've never learned that in perilous times like David was in when he had been betrayed by his very friends, to get into the secret place and pray. And if you've ever got there and prayed your way out of it, you won't have any problem praising Him for bringing you out of it. And some of you in here that saved, you may have not ever been hemmed up tight enough in your conversion to praise Him. Have you ever been really hemmed? I'm talking about Him, buddy. When you felt like you was between a rock and a hard spot. You know what David said in Psalm 18? The snares of death compassed me. The sorrows of hell compass me. The sorrows of death compass me round about. And the snares of death, they prevented me. But David said, in my distress. Have you ever been distressed? Have you ever been distressed? In my distress, I cried unto God, and God delivered me. Sissy, was you in distress over at Night O'Will? It was preaching in you. Saw yourself going to hell.
Amen.
Was you in distress that night? You laid up there for 45 minutes. Brother Steve, was you in distress when God put the mojo on you about 3 years ago? Old Steve come in and sit down. I'd say, boy, that old boy's under a load. Somebody said that. Somebody said there ain't nothing good about being under the road. Yeah, they are. Coming out from an under. Let him. It is the best thing about coming, about being under a load, is getting out from under it. Just like that old donkey. That's what a sinner. Is a donkey's a type of sinner. He's a beast of burdens. Well, I'm gonna unload you, old donkey. Ow! Ow! Feel that way when that burden rolled off? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Looks like I won't buck no more.
talking about a spondylolisthesis, boys. Whew. Brother Andy,
when you slid down off that bar stool that afternoon and walked back out and got in your car, did you feel the burden roll away?
Yes.
God's good, ain't he, fellas?
Brother Jerry, when you had that 365 feet on top of you down that mine, he was reading there in Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew.
Did the burden roll away?
Yeah, he took it over.
Brother Mark, that night on that bridge, did the burden roll away? Miss Kim, that night in that bed, did the burden roll away?
Amen.
I don't know about all of you. Benny, that night in that little bedroom on Timmons, did the burden roll away?
Amen.
Mama, that night in that little trailer, did the burden roll away?
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that burden's rolled away, buddy, you can live in perilous times.
Yeah.
And the greatest piece of armory you got is your prayer life. I didn't say armor. I said armory.
Right. Amen.
Your, fire the big gun.
Amen.
Get a hold of God.
Yes.
Perils and prayers.
Amen.
David prayed his way through the perils.
Amen.
And walked in victory.